Hello, and welcome to the Right Minds podcast. This is the third episode, and it is the 25th of April, 2019. I am your host, Dewa De Boer, and with me is your co-host, Jesse Anderson.
G'day.
This episode has been slightly delayed due to Easter.
You mean Easter worship?
Before we get into the topic of worshipping Easter, I would like to come back to something we discussed on the last podcast, which was around the capital gains tax. There has been some development around that. We will also come to the topic of the Sri Lanka Easter bombings, and we likely will wrap this up with a discussion around some of the New Zealand media propaganda that has been doing the rounds the last week or so, and or rather the propaganda they've been doing for several years, and it perhaps has finally come to an end this week, but we shall see.
We shall.
So, we mentioned the capital gains tax last week, and it's gone. It's been announced by Jacinda Ardern that there will be no capital gains tax implemented, and the context which we mentioned it in last time was Simon Bridges being opposed to the capital gains tax and not really focusing on much else.
Well, not having anything else to be able to talk about without being vilified for being insensitive, etc.
Exactly. So it was the only issue he was really willing to engage Labour on, and a lot of people saying, "Oh, this is a big loss for Labour. They've taken away the capital gains tax. They could have really done something with that." But the way that I see this is as a very smart move by Labour. They've read the tea leaves. They said, "Oh well, capital gains tax isn't worth it. We'll move on to something else." And for National, this is actually quite bad because they haven't been focusing on anything but the capital gains tax. Jacinda moves on to the next topic. And they're currently left hanging, wondering whether they should be engaging on the next topic here, which in her case is
social media.
Regulating social media, that's right. So she's going to be meeting with Macron and...
Yeah, so it does leave Simon Bridges and National heavily on the back foot.
Yeah, especially because the topic that she has switched to has been something they've completely rolled over. They've said, we need to have a review about free speech, and we need to have a review about what's acceptable to say. We need to have a review of social media. They've completely agreed with her on all of these issues.
They've basically gone, more authoritarianism. Sign me up.
Yeah, it's just mind boggling as to what they're thinking, because their key issue here, their key opposition to Labour, has been taken away, and we're going to have to keep an eye on their tactic here. Okay, how do they switch into, you know, actually being an opposition rather than agreeing with absolutely everything that's going on? They're going to have to pick more issues than just one. They have to pick more than one battle.
I've said it before, the big parties don't have to worry about what they're going to challenge each other on, because they will eventually get back into power, because it's the two horse race that's being propagated by the media, has been for a long time. They will get back into power at some stage. It's just a matter of time. It's when people start getting sick of this government, they'll vote for the next government, because swing voters are like that. And it doesn't matter so much what National challenges Labour on, or vice versa. And on top of that, National is more than happy for Labour to instill all this authoritarian crap, because then when it comes time for them to get back into power, they can turn around and say, "Oh, that was all Labour, that was all Labour." They'll still use it, though.
Absolutely. It's exactly the powers that Labour is currently using to suppress free speech, and the kind of investigations they're doing, and the huge powers that the police have been given over the last 10 years have been given by the National Party.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So all of these quote-unquote counter-terrorism, which basically is just a way to harass...
I haven't counted much people. Terrorism.
No, no, because it's not about countering terrorism. And so all of these restrictions that they place on people, all of the surveillance state, the police state, all of this stuff is the stuff that National loves. And at the moment, there is actually a lot of unity going on outside of this capital gains tax issue that's now completely gone. And that this brings us neatly into the Sri Lankan bombings. I think I'd like to focus on the response that's been had in terms of New Zealand. So we've had the initial reaction by Jacinda Ardern and other government officials and MPs. It was quite lackluster compared to the kind of reaction they had to the mosque attacks in Christchurch. Some of it perhaps understandable, because something that's in New Zealand is going to bring out a lot stronger emotions than something that's happened somewhere overseas. But there have been some elements that have been quite absent from some of these tweets and public statements that have been made.
On one hand, it's you've got a lot more responsibility to say a lot of things when something happens in your country. But to be the Nobel Peace Award, you know, nominee that Jacinda Ardern is, and then to just sort of say, oh, I denounce these bombings. The bombings are bad. And then that's it. She didn't come out dressed like a Catholic nun. She didn't do any of this sort of crap.
Yeah, so the statement being, I denounce terrorism of all forms, of all kinds. The reaction to terrorism in Christchurch was, I denounce this specific type of terrorism. We need to go after these specific types of people who support this specific ideology and this specific agenda.
Which is rampant in the South Island, apparently. Teeming with it.
Throughout all of New Zealand, actually, especially at the universities, we had one of our reporters. If you go to rightminds.nz, you'll find a recent piece on that. Someone went hunting for these elusive white supremacists at Auckland University.
It was a very interesting piece. Very funny piece.
And yet, when it comes to terrorism of a different kind, then suddenly we have to step back to generic. We have to step back to generics and say we are really opposed to generic terrorism.
Well, we have to fall back into the same pattern hiding behavior that we've seen time and time again worldwide. It's not just Jacinda Ardern. It's every single Western leader, apart from the Orange Man, who will actually talk about Islamic terrorism and the pattern therein. And it's not this one-off mass shooting. It's not a one-off crazy guy in a tower. It is a pattern. It is a noticeable pattern. And yeah, the thing that really annoys me about it is that we've got Golraz Gharaman. We need to listen to minorities as they report discrimination, hate speech, and hate crimes. Oh, okay, I see. So she's immediately going at it from the point of view of we need to ban hate speech and hate crimes, and that's going to stop hate speech and hate crimes, and that's going to stop...
violence. Right, yeah, so if we can stop people from saying mean things to each other, then they'll stop killing each other, right?
Like, why weren't homemade bombs illegal in the first place, right?
Yeah, if only military-style assault bombs had been banned beforehand in Sri Lanka, and if they had just banned saying mean things about Christians, and if they had just started prosecuting people for denigrating Easter worshippers, then for some reason nobody would have been blown up and everything would have been hunky-dory.
That's a really interesting phrase that you just used, Easter worshippers. I don't know anybody who has ever worshipped Easter in I've never heard of anybody. I'm a Christ worshipper. I'm a Christian. I worship Jesus Christ, but I don't worship Easter.
And there were so many world leaders who were unable to just type out the word Christian, right? There were so many who were unable to say there were Christians who were murdered, right? And nobody's got a problem saying in Christchurch there were Muslims murdered, okay? Oh, no. Nobody has it, because that's what happened. Muslims were targeted, Muslims were murdered. Nobody has a problem saying it. But why do so many of these, especially on the progressive side of the political spectrum, why do they have such a problem saying Christians? Why can't they say one simple word?
If they did say Christians, that would open a big can of worms, because they've been hiding it for a long time that Christians are the most persecuted religion in the world, and that they couldn't possibly bear to... I mean, when we talk about how the Muslims are being persecuted, we start adopting the Muslim values and wearing the hijab and stuff, but God forbid that we start adopting Christian values in a Christian nation.
British comedian and political commentator Katie Hopkins came out and made a bit of a sort of sarcastic tweet at Jacinda to say she expected her to be dressed as the Pope, ringing church bells across New Zealand and praying in Latin at Parliament by noon. Mm. This is obviously quite sarcastic. And I've seen even the certain National Party lackeys get upset at this and say, good on Grant Robertson for coming to Jacinda's defence and so on. First of all, if some supposedly nobody comedian says something about you, you would just ignore it, right? But clearly, they felt quite slighted by this, and Grant Robertson had to go out to bat for Jacinda, at which point Katie Hopkins hit back again, calling him Tubbs, which I think is quite a nice nickname for him, and said, step into the light and let's have this conversation man to man. I want to know why you are prostrating New Zealand to Islam. That's the big difference here. As a certain US congresswoman said recently, somebody somewhere did something, and now suddenly we are you know, we have to have all kinds of gestures, and they say these are just gestures, right? These are just gestures of showing respect and so on. Mm. But to basically take somebody's religion and turn it into a prop is not really a gesture, unless you seriously mean it, okay? If you're going to adopt somebody's religious symbols and you're going to use religious terminology, you're going to say prayers, you should mean them, else you're being incredibly hypocritical and disrespectful. So if they said they're doing this in a respectful way, it means they must mean it. Being called out on that is more than appropriate to do, and it really does show their hypocrisy when they're more than happy to go and celebrate certain religions but not other religions.
Yeah, especially when we're in the process of, or have passed the process of, you know, banning Jesus from Parliament but then welcoming in Allah.
So it just goes to show it's not really about religion and atheism and separating politics and so on. It's about Jesus specifically. Right, they have an issue with Christianity, they have an issue with Jesus Christ, they have an issue with the Bible, they have an issue with the Christian religion. And so when the social media review comes in, and when this hate speech review, this hate speech legislation review comes in, you've got some interesting characters coming out here, and nobody caught the limelight more than the Apostle Bishop Living Maori Prophet Brian Tumaki, who came out quite harshly against the free speech / hate speech review that Andrew Little is doing. He's come out and basically said, this will be war.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the this will be war line was particularly tactful, especially when he's got a bunch of dudes dressing in you know, gang regalia, etc.
Yeah, I'm calling it the Crusaders Gang.
The Crusaders Gang, nice. Well, the trademark's going to be open soon, apparently.
Yeah, that's right, and we'll probably come back to the Crusaders comment a little bit later, because there have been there's something that the media has really been pushing, but the public has not been behind this push.
Yeah, no, they came out within one sentence. They said Kiwis don't want the Crusaders name to change, but that's also just because Kiwis are ignorant about the Crusades.
Yeah, that's the attitude that the media has, right? Is you think what we tell you to think, and if you don't think what we tell you to think, it just means we haven't told you what to think yet.
that's yeah. pretty good summary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into Brian Tumaki's theology or his business model too much.
Particularly because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, well, I know quite a bit about it, but he's an interesting figure in New Zealand's diverse landscape. He's someone who's really come up and said, no, I won't stand for this. You know, I'm going to really push back against this, and I'm going to preserve our national identity. New Zealand is a Christian nation, and he's come out and said that in the past, governments, and this is he's referencing Helen Clark specifically, has actually been trying to bring in this interfaith dialogue for, you know, to set up Muslim communities and Buddhist mm-hmm. communities in New Zealand and so on, and he's always been opposed to this. And that's where we come back to the whole situation around the targeted murder of Christians in Sri Lanka and the political elite's inability to say these were Christians who were targeted, these are Christians who were persecuted, and their inability to say this is a Christian nation. They're happy to say, oh, that's a Buddhist nation, that's a Muslim nation, but for some reason New Zealand is a supposedly secular nation that wants more of other religions and less of one specific type of religion.
I wouldn't necessarily say that New Zealand wants more. Well, that New Zealanders.
I'm specifically talking about the government. When they said they want New Zealand to have, yes. I don't mean that. That New Zealand wants to have more of this.
Yeah,
the political elite want to have more of this for New Zealand.
Well, of course they do, because when all you've got is, you know, Christianity, and when you specifically hate Christianity, you're going to be importing as many more religions as possible to dilute that Christian nation, and if you can bring Christianity down to less than 50% of the population, then you've got basically the perfect scenario to do away with anything to do with Christianity, and I dare say we're approaching that, if not already surpassed that level of that lessening of Christianity in New Zealand.
We are at the point where Christianity is now actually a minority. I've just pulled up the numbers here. Our largest subset is Roman Catholicism at about 13%. We've got Anglicanism at about 12%, Presbyterianism at about 8%, and then various other Christian denominations around 15%, and all that adds up to just under 50%.
Yeah, so we are predominantly irreligious.
Mm-hmm. But Christianity as a whole makes up generically Christian, Mark, as a plurality, but not a majority.
Yeah, that's always a topic for debate, but let's all just consider that Christianity for the time being. They read the Bible, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into a debate about what we should consider Orthodox Christianity. We could do a different 3-hour-long podcast on that.
and barely touch the sides.
So in a sense, religion has been declining in New Zealand. We're seeing a larger proportion of people identifying as having no religion at all, and yet the push is not to have less religion in New Zealand's political sphere, but to have more religion.
Well, that's the PC way, because you can't tell someone they're wrong because that's rude and therefore not nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell somebody that they need to be more accepting and more open-minded, because that's intelligent and very loving and kind. So instead of telling somebody you can't be Christian anymore because that doesn't come off very well politically, you can just say you need to be more open and accepting of Islam and all of its peaceful teachings. Because for anybody to say, no, I will not be accepting this peaceful religion, that doesn't sound very good. And because all that we've been told about Islam is that it's a peaceful religion, and the majority of people, I think, are relatively uneducated. Not because they're dumb or ignorant, but just because we live in the Western world. Islam is not a part of our education.
Most people probably wouldn't be able to tell you what the origins of Islam are.
You get the same sort of lie, the same falsehood that, oh, well, it's basically the same religion, it's basically the same God.
Well, they worship the same God.
Yeah. We just have different paths of getting there. It's like, no, you... Sorry, man. Like, that's not going to fly.
And that's something where we're probably the multicultural dream and comes apart at the seams, is the point at which you realize... Perhaps the best example of all that religious diversity is not the most healthy thing. When you look at just a report today where Saudi Arabia has executed 50 or so Shia believers, because, you know, Shia is the wrong kind of Islam, and Sunni is of course the right kind of Islam if you're in Saudi Arabia. And you get the chop if you belong to this particular minority group there. And you don't need to look any further, even in the Western world, to, for instance, the Troubles in Ireland, where just most people couldn't even tell you the differences between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism these days. But it wasn't that long ago before people, at least in Ireland, and there were obviously a lot of different political and ethnic mix-ups in there too, but people killed each other over what considered to be very minor differences.
It's particularly noteworthy that Brian Tamaki and Donald Trump get berated any time they open their mouth about defending Christianity or being opposed to Islamification of the West or opposed to mass immigration. I'm not sure what Brian Tamaki's stance on immigration is, but they are dragged through the coals any time that they bring up a defense of Christianity. And it's always immediate and just flagrant. It's always a very strong condemnation of their words, or at least look at this idiot, and then you read the comments and it's always very strong, flagrant comments against Donald Trump or against Brian Tamaki, when all they're doing is challenging the status quo. And the status quo is obviously pro-Islam, pro-immigration, pro-everything that's against Christianity. And I have to take my hat off to Brian Tamaki for, I mean, the amount of times that he comes out and says something and gets berated for it and keeps doing it. And he obviously is not just doing it for attention. He's just doing it because he's got a platform. The same as Israel Folau, he's got a platform and he's going to speak his mind and he's going to speak what he thinks is true, whether it's true or not.
The media pick up a real vendetta against these people. And perhaps the biggest example of the kind of propaganda and sometimes, dare I say, foreign propaganda that the media likes to put out, and I'm talking specifically about the New Zealand media in this case, it doesn't really come any further than, on a local level, the Crusaders story, which we mentioned earlier, where the media really pushed this, Crusaders need to change their name. Guess what? There's basically nobody outside the media and the political elites who actually thinks the Crusaders should change their name. And the biggest story of it all has been the Donald Trump story, where the New Zealand media in New Zealand have been pushing day after day for the past 2 years that Donald Trump is somehow an illegitimate president who was a puppet of Vladimir Putin in Russia. They push it day after day after day for 2 years in New Zealand.
Mm.
And the Mueller report was released. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing. What's the story the New Zealand media runs with?
Just a handful of quotes allegedly made by Trump?
That's right. Trump's reaction to the Mueller probe 2 years ago was, oh, my presidency is effed, or
this will be the end of my presidency. Just yep. these.
And that's the quote they put out when they said the Mueller report is out. Okay, that's nice, but that doesn't tell us what's in the Mueller report. All right, what's in the Mueller report is the media has been lying to you every single day for 2 years in New Zealand about what's going on in foreign countries. And they've been repeating the propaganda from foreign media entities to New Zealand. Okay, so the media have been acting as foreign propaganda agencies for 2 years on this one particular story, but they've been doing it on all the other stories too. But this one, we can see it most clearly now. And they keep going because they hope that the trust in the media can remain high. And sadly, New Zealand trust in media is still unusually high in that the majority of the people actually trust what the media tells them. Yeah, if you can break that, if you can show people that the media is lying to them, that's how you will get the biggest change. And you want to make, if you want to make an effective defense of Western civilization, of Christian civilization, then you need to find a way through the media, around the media, and you need to find a way to get the masses to see the lies that they are being fed day after day.
Yeah, it's a very eye-opening experience seeing that the media is literally telling lies. And I knew that they were liars a long time ago, but when I saw footage of me being put up on the news, when I saw footage of places and events that I'd been at being put up in an obviously fallacious way, it still baffles me how dishonest they are and just how unscrupulous they are, just for the story, just for the propaganda, just for the hits, just for the likes, whatever. It's a very powerful tool to be able to show somebody 100% that the media has lied to you about something very serious, about something that could potentially, you know, swing the election in your own country, could change laws in your own country. These are not things to be trifled with, and yet they do it day after day. That's their bread and butter, is just making up lies in order to change the political discourse.
Thank you very much, Jesse. We're going to wrap up this podcast today. I hope you've enjoyed the topics and that you have had an enjoyable Easter holiday, and that you have had an enjoyable Anzac Day, that you have taken the time to remember all of the soldiers who went to war, those who came back, and especially those who did not come back, the sacrifices that they made for our freedoms, the sacrifices that they made to preserve the Commonwealth and the West as a civilizational entity. I always wrap up the podcast with some music. The last two times it's been organ music from Johann Sebastian Bach. We will be staying with J.S. Bach today, and we have had a request from an audience member to play a thematic piece, and it is not organ music this time. The Easter Oratorio from Bach, played by the Ghent Collegium Vocale and conducted by Philippe Herren-Awega. Enjoy, and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week at the usual time.
Bye.